Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, and we ask you to help us to apply your word to our lives and hearts, that we would know the power of your love and the plan that you have for us, God. I pray for each and every person that's here, and I also ask you to start with me, that the plan that you have and the purpose that you have for my life would be revealed in your word and revealed by your spirit. I don't want to miss not one scoop, God, not one scoop. I want every single one of it. Please, God, you are the vine dresser. We're the vine. We want to abide in you and bear much fruit. Be with us tonight and speak your word over us in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. To say that tonight's a Bible study would probably be a little unfactual, and I'll tell you why. Because the evidence, or should I say, the obvious evidence of today's Bible study, today's Bible reading, is, let me put it to you this way. At the top of chapter 60 of the book of Isaiah, I wrote, a note to those who receive salvation. Although Isaiah was writing to the nation of Israel and predicting of better times to come, he was speaking a word of prophecy. Obviously, if you've been with us, you know that the book of Isaiah is so filled with prophecy. That's why he's called by the scholars the Prince of Prophets. But tonight's verse is not just for the nation of Israel. And perhaps there's somebody in here who either didn't receive, didn't gain, hasn't been blessed, doesn't understand. I used to write my wife poems before we were married. I used to write poems all the time. You know, roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, and I love you type of stuff. God wrote you a poem. He wrote you a letter. And in case any of you missed it, here's tonight's refresher course. For anybody that's here that's been saved less than 10 years, listen, here's your letter. This is God telling you not why he saved you, not just what he saved you from, but the purpose in which he saved you. Here is what I am about to do for you. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. Receive this. Read as I read it over you. Maybe I'll explain a little bit, but there's really nothing to explain, because imagine you're a church. Imagine you receive Christ as your Savior. You say, Lord, take my heart. I believe that you died for my sins and God raised you from the dead. Immediately, God would hand you, and I say this with the authority of the Word of God, he would hand you chapter 60 of the book of Isaiah. And he would say, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Now, I want you to receive this as though you didn't know these things, as though somebody came to the church and if something moved on their heart, the Spirit of God just said, I don't even know. I've seen that before. I see some people are studious. They go to church over and over again. I was like that. I was sat in church for, what's this guy? And my heart softened and softened and softened. But some people come to church and they go forward, they get saved. At our church, they used to have this thing called an altar call. There used to be a center column down the middle, and every service people would be like, oh, I'm getting saved. That's just beautiful. My wife loves that stuff too. Church says, how come you don't do an altar call? Because it'd be weird, people standing here like, hi. Some people just have no clue. I don't know what I just did. I just did it. I saw people going forward. I felt something in my heart, so I went. You guys know what I'm talking about when I say that? Imagine you have no idea what for, how, why, what's supposed to happen now, what's next. And God literally is saying, listen, darkness is going to fall all over the world, but not on you. Because of what I've done in your life, I'm going to shine a light on you no matter how dark it gets. Listen with that, with those thoughts in mind. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. Again, verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Now remember I said that this was a letter written to the Jews. So when you use the word Gentiles there, that just means non-Jews. But the application for us, listen, everybody who doesn't believe now is going to be drawn to you. That's why God saved you. You're not saved to be saved. You don't exist to exist. Like churches don't exist. They're not supposed to exist just to exist. They're supposed to exist to bring those that don't know Christ to Christ. The Gentiles shall come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Did you hear that line? And kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Here, you know what verse 4 starts? And I love this. I had this whole conversation with my son today. And we were talking about, I grew up so dysfunctional, guys. Maybe you understand what I'm saying. Some of you guys here, just relationship messed up. My parents were so whacked, and drugs and sex. And I had no plumb line. I had no understanding of what normal was. Like if you grew up in a normal household, a loving, adjusted household, you understand normal and you understand abnormal. But when you grow up in a household that's totally abnormal, that nothing makes sense, you don't know what normal or abnormal is. You have no clue. There is nothing. Verse 4 starts this. When I got saved, it's like, I wish I would have read this. And listen, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to show you real love. I'm going to show you normal family. Like, I have one of my daughters lives in North Carolina. Like, I don't know why. Why does she live in North Carolina? She's not supposed to live in North Carolina. She's supposed to live here. Like, it's my prayer every day. God, move them back. I want to grow up. I want my kid to be next door. Like, Austin and Elena are trying to move, like, next door to us. Like, I don't mean, like, next door to us. I mean, like, next door to us. You know why? Because that's what God has done in our lives. He's made us a family. Like, we just went on vacation together. I mean, is that normal? I mean, when I grew up, we didn't go on vacation. What's a vacation? My parents, they went to their place. You don't even want to know. Me and my brother, he went one place. I went another place. That was summer vacation. I love this. I love it for me from retrospect, guys, because God's done this in my life. So new believer, God's going to do this. Seasoned saint, amen. And if you're a saint that's been walking with the Lord for some years and you have not seen this yet, you missed something. You know, examine, start over, figure it out. Because this is what the plan for your life is from the Lord. Your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. Give me your attention, please. Notice two things, please, lest I be misunderstood. Number one, it doesn't say anything about not going through trials. It just says that you're going to go through them with joy. And number two, it talks about the wealth and the prosperity. Now, I know that's not a message that we're supposed to take in as God has to, but I know very few people who've been walking with the Lord for years and years, serious about their walk, that aren't blessed financially. I just don't know that many of them. Because they don't know what they have and what they don't have, because everything they have is a blessing to them. And whether they have much or they have little, they have abundance. Does that make sense? All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you, the rams of Nebaioth, all week long I've been screwing that one up, shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these who fly like a cloud and like doves to their roosts? Surely coastlands shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, to the name of the Lord your God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. Guys, my family is all dead. And yet, I'm surrounded by sons. I'm surrounded by grandparents. I'm surrounded by brothers. I have more family than I ever dreamed I'd ever have. Because that's what God gives us. Family. I'm blown away at this chapter. I am not reading into it. I'm not like, well, here's what, this is a letter. He gave this letter to you, and look how much better it gets. Verse 9 again, surely the coastlands shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, to the name of the Lord your God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. The sons of foreigners shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you. For in wrath I will strike you, but in my favor I've had mercy on you. Oh my goodness, you see verse 10? In his wrath he struck you, but then his mercy, in his favor, he had mercy on you. So why did things go so bad in your life? How did you become a drug addict? How did you become a sex addict? How did you become, can't keep a job, can't save money? How come? Because God wanted a relationship with you. He gave you over to yourself so that he can rescue you from it. His favor upon your life. If you've not lived this, and this means nothing to you, but if this is not, this is probably my chapter, and most of you guys aren't with it, but this is my chapter. I'm with this chapter. Therefore, your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in procession. For the nation and the kingdom which will not serve you shall perish, and those nations shall utterly be ruined. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the pine, and the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. Also, the sons of those who afflict you shall come bowing to you, and those who despised you shall fall prostrate at the soles of your feet, and they shall call to you the city of the Lord, and Zion of the Holy One of Israel, and they shall call you the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. When you're identified in your family as the Christian, oh yeah, that's the religious guy in our family. Are you that one? Did your family call you the city? That's the city of the Lord. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated so that no one went through you, I will make you an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. I told you guys that story before. Some of you guys weren't here for it, but when I first got saved, there was a guy who used to have down Hillsborough on the left side, there used to be those big metal buildings. Does anybody remember those big, they look like, almost look like giant, what do you call it, greenhouses. Those big half-circle metal buildings. I'm going back 10 or 15 years. He had a hardcore Pentecostal church in one of them. He was one of those fire and brimstone preachers, and he used to scream. I love this guy. He used to come into my store. His son worked for me. Came in one day and he said, Ryan, he had this Texas accent, wasn't Southern, he was Texas. He said, Ryan, I had the greatest weekend I ever had. I said, what happened? He said, my daddy went home to be with the Lord this weekend. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. He goes, no. My daddy taught me how to live, and he taught me how to die. He waited for my brother Bobby. We all around him, all four sons. And he said, I can't go until my son Bobby gets here. And when Bobby got there, he looked at all of us, and he said, I bless you all in the name of the Lord. I'll see you again soon. And he went home. My daddy taught me how to live, and he taught me how to die. And I just, hearing that story is just, well, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. I want to be surrounded by my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and my great-great-grandchildren. I don't want a testimony. People talk about testimony. I don't want a testimony. You know what I want? Legacy. I want to be, like this says here, the joy of many generations. I want Arlen to stand around all of her cousins and go, let me tell you about Pop-Pop. When Pop-Pop used to take me out into the woods and me and Daddy and Pop-Pop used to go hunting for something, I want her. I heard about Pop-Pop. Remember, this letter is for you. This is what God wants to do with you, saved person. Did some of you all miss it? Or some of you not walking in this joy and in this light with this hope of the future? If you are a Christian and you don't have the hope of this, you missed something. Maybe you didn't get the note. There's a scene in Lord of the Rings, in Return of the King, where what's the wizard's name? Gandalf is sitting there talking to Pippin, and on the other side of the door, the orcs and the orgi, they're trying to bust through the door, and Pippin looks up at him and he says, man, you know, I'm paraphrasing. I didn't think it'd end like this. And he looks at me and he goes, end? This is not the end. He says, death is just another path, one we all must take. And then he starts describing to him the path. There's a glass sea, and then you see a light. And he goes through this whole description of a very heavenly scene. And he says, oh, that doesn't seem so bad. And he says, no, it's not. When did Christians be so afraid of death? When do we be afraid of growing old? Why are we afraid of, these are our promises, man. What promises we have. And for most of us here, as a matter of fact, I'm looking around, for all of us here, there's a lot of living left, man. We got a lot to do. It gets better, guys. Listen, believe it or not, it gets better. I will make you an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. You shall drink the milk of the Gentiles and milk the breast of kings. You shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Now, something happens between verse 16 and 17 where he leaps over death, because in Christ there is no death. And the rest of the chapter is a description of the coming age. It's heaven. Listen, instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, I will bring bronze. And instead of stones, iron. Listen, what he's saying is the redemption of our soul is in exchange. And whatever you bring him, whatever you give to God, he gives back better. I tell people all the time, listen, if God's done some tragedy in your life, don't worry. because God never takes away anything he don't give back better. Listen to this. And I also will make your officers peace and your magistrates righteousness. Violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall no longer be light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light and your God your glory. Now, the reason I said that this is heaven, this is the millennial age, and you could write it down and look it up later. I was going to go there, but you know what? This is too sweet. I don't want to leave here. Revelation 21 and 23, Revelation 22 and 5. It is exactly, the Apostle John says, there's no need for light there, for the Lord will be their light. There's no need. There's no more darkness. There's no more night there. And what he's talking about is the millennial age, the age that is to come, heaven for us. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. Also your people shall all be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Now, we can break each verse down there because it's so sweet, but quickly and briefly, imagine not being surrounded by negative people who put everything down. You see what's going on right now in our country? It is so horrible. It is just division and hatred. The news is, it's just, they want this guy dead. They don't just want him out of office. They want him dead. And they want Pence dead. And they want anybody who voted for him dead. It's so crazy what's going on right now. And I can't even watch the news. I'm aggravated reading it. I can't. I just can't anymore. But imagine being surrounded. Me and my wife and kids got a little taste of this some years ago. I know this sounds crazy. We were on a cruise some years ago, and we went through somewhere in what Bahamian island was that we went through, baby? I think it was Nassau. We were in Nassau. And it was, God bless you, brother. And you walk in the stores, and there's Christian music playing in the stores. Christmas music. Savior this and Savior that and Hallelujah this. And you're like, where are we? I ain't going to say that Bahamas don't have his problems or anything like that, but people there, they ain't afraid to be bold in their faith. They don't. If you don't like it, take a walk. Imagine being surrounded by that. Imagine turning on a radio and the radio station isn't, it's every, oh, this. Ah. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of fighting. Look at verse 22. And this is a crazy promise. Verse 22 is a crazy promise that, you know, I wouldn't bank my salvation on it, but I really dig it. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten in its time. Listen, people stand on this weird how do I use this without sounding sacrilegious or irreverent? The Lord Jesus, it says that in heaven there shall be no marriage nor giving in marriage. But you should be like the angels. And some people have taken that to believe that in heaven you won't have a wife. And that's just not true. There's a dozen verses that bear witness to just the opposite, that you will. Now, how that happens, I don't know. But you're going to tell me and my wife, we've struggled in our marriage for more than 30 years that we've been together, and now our reward is we don't see each other in heaven, right? Maybe that'd be her reward. It won't be my reward. No, we're going to have a strong nation. We're going to have lots more kids. Whether they be spiritual and how we have them, I don't know, but let's not say that. So the response of chapter 60, when you've been given this letter, and if you read it over and over again, Rolando, you read 60 over and over again, and you really receive it, you know what your response is going to be? Chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And basically, in parentheses, I believe what I just read. I believe what I just been promised. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Why did we get saved? And if we believe chapter 60 is a letter to those who are saved, then the only response we have is 61. Because the Lord Jesus himself said, nobody takes a light and puts it under a bushel basket. He puts it on a hill. You have not been saved to put it in your pocket. It doesn't matter whether you're a pastor. It doesn't matter whether you're the pastor's wife. It doesn't matter whether you're a deacon, an elder. It doesn't matter whether you're a worship leader, or it doesn't matter whether you're nobody in the church. And I will say, yet. You have a job, saved person, and your job is to be a light unto the Gentiles. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon you because the Lord has anointed you to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent you to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn. This is what we've been called for. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them, ready? Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. He gives us our letter in chapter 60, and he tells us what to give others in chapter 61. Here's what your response is. You know what I've been called? Beauty for ashes. Oil of joy for mourning. Garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Oh, Lord Jesus, if that doesn't hit you, if that doesn't set you on a road or set you free, do you know how many people I know who are mourning their lives because they lost somebody in due season, a relationship broke up, and their whole life is mourning? They are what the book of Ruth calls Mara, M-A-R-A. They're just bitter. And you know what your job is, Christian? Your job, born-again Christian, is? The oil of joy. Beauty for ashes. People have been burnt. I mean, listen, I'm not using a metaphor just because we use the metaphor burnt. This is it. You walk around and all you were with is people who have been burnt. People who have been hurt. People who have been shunned and give them beauty for ashes, man. Beauty for ashes. Like the phoenix, they will rise from the ashes. It's the craziest thing. I think we have to stop apologizing for being so blessed. I'm walking with the Lord now close to 25 years. Dino, how many years has it been? How long have we been walking with the Lord? 93, 94. I got baptized in 94. Yeah, do I need to apologize to people? Well, why is it everything works out for you? Everything don't work out for me. I just act like it works out for me. So I don't care. You know why? Because I know where I'm going. And I know what I got to do. I could tell you my woeful tale. And if my woeful tale gives you beauty for ashes, oil of joy. And look at this. Garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Oh my goodness. Is there a better description? Aren't you surrounded with people who have a spirit of heaviness? Woe is me. This person did me wrong. That person. They're just the spirit of heaviness. Man, give them garments of praise. Give them garments of praise. Man, we need to dress you up in some new clothes, man. You've been cloaked in misery. It's time for the garments of praise. What a beautiful verse, man. How can you not read it over and over again? That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Do you know how many generations my family's been messed up? Do you know? How many generations of psychopaths I come from? Why, God, have you chosen me? Why did God choose me? Why did God choose you? To dress you up in his garments of praise. This is such beautiful verses, guys. I just want to stay here for a while. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, verse 5. The sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, and that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. He's literally telling you what's going to happen to the people that you minister to. The same thing, he's literally reiterating 60 again here in 61, saying, listen, the people whom you give this love to, here's what their lives are going to be. Don't you want to give? Don't you want to share that? Don't keep that to yourself, man. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are posterity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels, for as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Wow. Listen, my encouragement to you is to read 60 and 61 over and on. You're having a bad day. You know, you had some things happen at work. You're having a tough time at, man, just read 60. It seems to, that we get caught in the thicket of life. It's like the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, they seem to keep grabbing at us, like trying to be those little foxes that spoil the vine. And if we just remember, like, dude, we're arguing about ice cream. There's so much more. It's like, I wish I could come up with a better metaphor. No. I'm saying we're stuck in these weeds, and we live in a high rise. It's like we argue with dogs, and yet we're going to heaven. Like, what are you doing down there? Did you forget you have heaven stamped on your forehead? Did you forget that, like, why are you entangled with the affairs of this world? We have so much more to look forward to. Like, what are we doing down here? Well, I'll tell you what happened. My cousin told my uncle, and they were like, well, he didn't take care of his mother. And then they said this, and then I that. And then we didn't invite them for Christmas. And, oh, yeah, well, if they're not going to invite us for Christmas, we're not going to invite them to a wedding. If they don't invite them to a wedding. This is what I'm arguing about. What? How did I get stuck in this again? I thought I left this behind. I mean, I got to get back to my note from the Lord, excuse me. Because when I got saved, God gave me a note, and I just got to remind myself where I'm at here. Hold on, let me. You follow what I'm saying? I got to remind myself once in a while. I get caught up with why I'm here. And it happens to a lot of Christians. They get saved, they get consistent, and all of a sudden they get a little success because favor's with them. All of a sudden the favor of the Lord's upon them, and they get lost. Do you know, you guys that have been around church and Christianity for a long time, how many people are single? And they're on fire for the Lord, and they can't serve enough, and then they get married, and then they don't even see them in church anymore. Or you get couples that get saved, and they're just so happy to be saved, and then all of a sudden, they have a kid, and you don't see them anymore. And you're like, no. That. Remember why. Read 60 again, man. Read 6-0. And remind yourself what your promises are. And it ain't to get stuck on this earth. Yes, I know you started a business and things are going really well. But guess what? It's only going really well because it gave you that good business so you could be a bold witness to others. So you could bless other people. And if you worship and idolize that relationship or put too much time and energy and effort into it, he'll take it away. And he'll do the same thing with your kid. He'll do the same thing with your money. And we can always revert back to that verse in chapter 60 where he says, listen, with anger I've afflicted you, but in mercy I rescue you. Like, don't ever let anything get in the way of your relationship with the Lord. What beautiful verses. I could be completely wrong, but Drew, would you pull up that song? And we're going to close with that song from Set the Stage Ablaze and Turn the Lights. Anything that gets in the way is an idol. Needham, Jimmy Needham? Yeah. Clear the stage. Clear the stage, yeah. So let me pray, and we'll close just worshiping together to this song. If you haven't seen this video for this song, look at the word.